Today's shiur is Besecht Bav Metziah Daf Chav Tes, and we will begin on Daf Chav Chei Amud Beis on the bottom line. Ma Yehei B'Damim Rtafna Mishtamish. As we learned in the Mishnah, the previous shiur, the Mishnah said we had a machlokes of Tafrim V'Kiva. What is done with the money after selling an object that was found? That the halacha is that after a certain time, as we learned, one may sell the object. We had a machlokes of Tafrim Kiva, the money that one receives, what is the din? Tafrim says, Hishtamish behen, it may be used, obviously given back when the person, when the owner of the object, now the money, comes to collect it. Rekifa Oimer lo Hishtamish behen. Before we begin our shiur today, in a way of introduction, we need to review a sugya that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama Taf Nunvav Amadeis. The sugya was known as Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. The subject of that sugya was a machloikis of Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, as someone who's a Shomer Aveda, as somebody who's watching a lost object, is he considered a Shomer Chinam or is he considered a Shomer Sacha? Rabbi Yosef's opinion was that he's considered a Shomer Sacha. And Rabbi's opinion is that he's considered a Shomer Chinam. In understanding Rabbi Yosef's opinion that he's considered a Shomer Sacher, we saw in the Gemara there two explanations. One explanation is because since we know the halacha is Oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, that if somebody's doing a mitzvah, he's not obligated to do another mitzvah. So therefore, if somebody is in the midst of fulfilling the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveidah, he's parted from doing other mitzvahs, so he gains, he benefits by being a Shomer Aveda, and therefore he's considered a Shomer Sacher. The other explanation that the Gemara gave was that somebody is a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Sacher because he's fulfilling what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. He's doing a mitzvah, and in this explanation, as we learned, then there were a number of explanations. One is that he gets schar. Everybody who does a mitzvah gets schar, and that's why he's considered a Shomer Sacher. Another explanation, as we gave then, is what is the difference between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sacher? A Shomer Chinam is somebody who's completely voluntary. He volunteers to watch somebody else's item. A Shomer Sacher is not a pure volunteer. Here too, since we are not pure volunteers in our obligation of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, of watching this Aveda and Hashavas Aveda, therefore we're considered a Shomer Sacher. What would be a nafka mina, we learned, between these two explanations? So the Sam Sofer says, what would be the din if Zaken Veina Lefi Kvoidon? We will learn that if somebody is a Talmud Chacham or a distinguished individual, he's not obligated to do the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. What would be the halacha if he anyway takes it upon himself lefnim mishur hadin to do that mitzvah? If we're going to say that while he's doing, the reason is while he's doing the mitzvah, he doesn't have to do another mitzvah, so he too is doing a mitzvah, oisip a mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah. But if we say the reason is because he's fulfilling the mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, this individual is not fulfilling a mitzvah that he was told to do, because he's potter from the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. Dar Simeach gives another explanation. He says that we know, normally when we speak about Nezikin, we discuss this at length in the Sech Bava Kama, there are really two types of situation. There's one situation where an item of mine gets damaged, and there's another part of Nezikin where something I own or something I'm responsible does damage to somebody else. If we're going to consider this individual a full-fledged Shomer Sacher, because he's getting paid, he's benefiting from this, because he doesn't have to give stock at that time, then the halacha would be that he would be chayif or nezikim, that item that he's watching, let's say he's watching an animal, whether the animal he's watching gets damaged or does damage. But if only we're going to explain that he's a Shomer Sacher because of the mitzvah, perhaps he's only a Shomer Sacher as far as being responsible that the item that he's watching should not get damaged, but not to that great degree that he has to watch that it shouldn't do damage. We say, the first explanation we said, why Rav Yosef considers this individual a Shai Mesachar, is because Yosef B'mitzah, part of the mitzvah. And here we have a Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this. Tosfos says, certainly we can't understand it to mean that if somebody is a Shomer Aveda, during the entire duration that he's a Shomer Aveda, he'll be part of from all mitzvahs. Because as we're learning, somebody can be Shomer Aveda for a year. Does that mean for a year he won't have to do any mitzvahs? Certainly not. Just while he's actually busy with the Aveda, during those brief moments, that's why he's potter from doing any other mitzvahs. Other Rishonim seem to disagree, and they say that he's indeed considered a full-fledged Oisik B'mitzvah, that he's potter in a mitzvah. And as the Stipler explains the Nafgamina between the two Pshatim, this Machlokes Rishonim, he says, the question is, how do we look at the Ptur of Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah? Tosfos obviously learns that it's Dechuya. It's not that a person who's Oisik B'mitzvah is completely exempt from a mitzvah. He's Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah, because he can't do two things at the same time. So obviously, if he can fulfill both mitzvahs, he won't apply the concept of Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. However, the other Rishonim, says the Stipler, will hold that it's hutra, that Oisik B'mitzvah is a full-fledged Ptur, and therefore, if he's Oisik B'mitzvah, he's entirely potter from doing any other mitzvahs. And in fact, this is why the Mefarshim explain, while we're saying Krishma, we don't have to answer Amen Yehoi Shmei Rabbah or Baruch Hu, because we're Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. In fact, I saw a tshuva for a Moshe Sternbuch, I think we might have discussed this when we learned Masech B'Kama, why while somebody is davening and people come to collect tzedakah, does one have to give tzedakah? Do we not say Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah? And in fact, he says that during the time of Birkas Krishma, and certainly during Shemoneh Esrei, since the person is in a place where he's not to be mafsik, certainly he is in a situation of Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah, and he doesn't have to give tzedakah, and tzedakah collectors actually should not ask for tzedakah at that time. And the other times during tefillah, since one can be mafsik for other important reasons, he suggests that's why you can be mafsik to give tzedakah. Along the same lines, Rav Volzner says in the Shas Tshuva Shevet Alevi, certainly while there's a group sitting and learning, the halacha is that one should not give, should not collect tzedakah, nor does one have to give tzedakah because he's Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. Why does Rava disagree with Rabbi Yosef? And Rabbi holds that we don't apply to a Shomer Aveda the concept of Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. So the way most Mefarshim explain is because it's Loi Shchiach, especially if we follow Tosfos' explanation, that since the person is only while he's actually doing the mitzvah is he potter in a mitzvah, so the likelihood of that happening at the exact same moment that while I'm busy taking care of the Aveda another mitzvah should come up is Loi Shchiach, and that's why we don't say Oisik B'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. Says the Gemara. So now we begin our shiur. Akan lo pligi. So the Gemara, this way Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara. Akan lo pligi. Until now we don't have a machlokes between Rav Tafram and Rav Yoyis and Rav Kiva. El b'shtam b'shtam b'shtam. Only if he has a right to use the money. That Rav Tafram holds, he has a right to use the money. And Rav Kiva says he doesn't. Avo lo b'shtam b'shtam. Everybody would agree, it seems, that if he had no right to use the money, then im avdu, if something would happen and the money would get lost, potter, he would not be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, based on what we're learning now, lema tehevet tiyuftes Rabbi Yosef. It seems that this Mishnah clearly contradicts Rabbi Yosef's opinion,
Ditmar, as we just finished explaining, Rabbi Yosef's opinion is regarding a Shomer Aveda. We have a Machloikis. The rabbi holds that he's considered like a Shomer Chinam. Rabbi Yosef Omer, he's considered like a Shomer Socher. So if he's considered like a Shomer Socher, why, if he doesn't have a right to use the item, will he be considered potter for a Geneva Aveda? Every Shomer Socher we know is Chayiv for Geneva Aveda, so he should be Chayiv under all circumstances, no matter what Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva say. Amlach Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef defends his position. But Geneva Aveda, indeed, as far as Geneva and Aveda are concerned, the Kula Amaloi Pligi, everybody will agree that somebody who's a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Socher, and since he's considered a Shomer Socher, the Chayiv, he's Chayiv for Geneva Aveda. Ki Pligi, the entire Machlokes between Rav Tarfon and Rav Kiva is regarding Oinsim the Shoyel. Is he considered a Shoyel, and he will be Chayiv for Oinis? Rav Tarfon Sover, Rav Tarfon is of the opinion, Shorle Rabbonin Lishtamusha Begavayu, since the halach is that this Shomer Aveda is allowed to use the money that he got from selling the item, so therefore Vahavale Shoyel Alayu, he's considered a Shoyel, and he's Chayiv even for Oinsin. Rav Kiva Sover, Rav Kiva is however of the opinion, Lishor Rabbonin Lishtamusha Begavayu, the Rabbonin did not allow him to use the item, Hilkach lo have a shoyel alayu. He's not considered a shoyel. He's only considered a shomer socher, and he's chayiv for geneva v'aveda, but he will not be chayiv for oinsim. The Rishonim point out that the title that we give to this individual of being a shoyel is somewhat inaccurate, because as we have learned, the definition of a shoyel is that I borrow an item and I have to give back that very object. In our Gemara, we're referring to a situation where this person borrowed, is selling the item that he found, and will not give back the exact money that he gets for the proceeds. He'll owe that amount of money to the owner of the item. And therefore, a better term would be to call him a loiva. He's called a shoyel because we're learning now the halachas of a shoyel, and the Torah, when it presents these dinim presented by a shoyel, so that's why the Gemara calls him a shoyel, when actually it's not 100% accurate of a title for this individual. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting piece from Shmuel Rozovsky. Shmuel Rozovsky quotes that Rav Chaim Briska asked Dor Sameach. We know that one of the dinim that apply to a shoyel is that a vimbol of imoy, if the owner of the object is together with the shoyel, that even though we just finished learning that a shoyel is chayiv v'ointzim, the halach is bol of imoy, he's not chayiv. So the question that was asked by Rav Chaim to Dor Sameach, does that rule of bol of imoy also apply by this shoyel that we're talking about now, that is a shoyel because he's watching somebody's aveda? And the Dor Sameach answered to Rav Chaim that although normally the din of Baal of Imoy, as long as the owner was with the shoyel at the moment that he borrowed, the din of Baal of Imoy applies. Here he said the din of Baal of Imoy won't apply that much, but if the Baal of is actually there when something happened to the item, then he will indeed be potter, even though he's considered a shoyel. That was what Dor Sameach said. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, however, disagrees. And Rav Shmuel Rozovsky says that the din of a regular shoyel that has the special dispensation, a ball of imoy, was only said, he said, in a situation where the person, we have a borrower and a lender, and they together agree to enter into this relationship. So there is a din, a ball of imoy. This, however, Shomer Aveda is not somebody who voluntarily agreed to be a shoyel. The Torah imposed it on him. And therefore, he says, the special dispensation, a ball of imoy, would not apply. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if this is where we're learning the Mishnah, that both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon agree that he's considered a Shomer Socher. The entire Machlokes is he considered a Shoyel? Ask the Gemara of Fikach. Domer Bekiva Lomali. What's pshat in the word lefikach that the Gemara, that the Mishnah uses? And the Gemara explains its question. If we'll say that the machloek between Abtaf and Bekiva is this individual chai for Gneva Veda? How did the Tani? We could understand the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva says that that this Shomer is not allowed to use the money that he received from proceeds for selling this item, Lafikach, so therefore he remains Lafikach Avdu, therefore Enechai Berichyusan, and explains the Gemara. Kusak Data Chamina, the Mishnah is coming to teach us, I would perhaps think, Shomer Socher Avkud Rabbi Yosef, that he should be considered a Shomer Socher, as Rabbi Yosef explained, and therefore, Begneva Aveda Mechayiv, he ought to be Chayiv for Gneva Aveda, Kamashman Lafikach, that's why the Mishnah comes to teach us. That hashto the amrit lo yishtamsh behen, since the halach is that he may not use the money, therefore shomer socher lo yhavi, he doesn't fall into the category of being a shomer socher, and therefore v'lo mechayiv b'gneva aveda, he's not chayiv for gneva aveda. Eli amrit, if we are going to hold like Rabbi Yosef wants us to hold, that b'gneva aveda kulam lo pligi dechayiv. As far as Gneva Aveda is concerned, everybody agrees that he's Chayiv, because as Rabbi Yosef explains, a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Socher. Ki pligi, and what is the machloikis between Rabbi Tafra and Bekiva about? But Oinsen the Shoyel, strictly is he considered a Shoyel, and he's Chayiv for Oinsen or not? My Lefikach, the Rabbi Kiva. What is Pshat when the Mishnah uses the words Lefikach? What the Mishnah ought to have said, Rabbi Kiva says, you're not allowed to use this money, and it'll be obvious the Kiva and the Loy Yishtamish Behen, since he may not use the money, certainly Lav Shoyli, Hava, he doesn't fall into the category of being a Shoyl, and therefore, obviously, he's not Chayiv for the Einzin. So if we're going to explain the Mishnah this way, Lefikach, as Rabbi Yosef wants us to explain it, Lefikach, Rabbi Kiva Lomeli, how do we understand the word Lefikach? Answers the Gemara, Mishon Lefikach, Derb Tarfin. It's not here because of understanding, needing it for the word Lefikach, Rabbi Kiva, we need the Lefikach for Rabbi Tarfin. Ask the Gemara, or Lefikach, Derb Tarfin Lomeli. And as Tosfos explains, the Gemara is asking a rhetorical question. The Gemara, because it's not that obvious that one who uses the money is qualified as a shoyl, says the Gemara, hachikamer. This, in other words, the Gemara is trying to explain the wording in the Mishnah. Hachikamer. This is what Reb Tarfin is saying. Kivin the shoyl le rabbanon l'shtamush begavayu. Since the rabbanon said that you're allowed to use this money, so even if he didn't actually use the money, but the right that he has to use the money puts him in the category command the mishtamish begavayu dummy, as if he actually is using it, and he falls into the category of being a shoyl, and therefore v'chayev bechruyusin. Ask the Gemara, but we come back to a fundamental question. So if Rabbi Yosef is explaining that the machloikis in our Mishnah has nothing to do with Gneva Aveda, the Machloikis in our Mishnah has to do with Oynis, but let's look at the word of the Mishnah. V'avdu k'tani. Our Mishnah speaks about Aveda. Our Mishnah doesn't speak about Oynis. Answers the Gemara, k'derava. We find an answer to this question that Rava gave us in other places. Dama Rava. Sometimes the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Braisa, uses the words Nignavu, but it doesn't really mean a full-fledged Gneva. It means Belista Mezuyin, arm bandits, which, as we have learned, is a category of Oynis. Avdu, and sometimes the Gemara, the Braisa, or the Mishnah uses the word Avdu, and it means Shetavus Finos B'yam, that the ship sank, which again is considered Oynis. And therefore, when the Mishnah uses here the word avdu, it doesn't mean avdu in the traditional sense of aveda. It rather means avdu in the sense that it's an oinus. Omer, and that's the machlokes, is he considered a shoyl? Rav Tarfin's opinion, because he's allowed to use the money, or is he not considered a shoyl? The opinion of Rav Kiva, since he's not allowed to use the money. Amr Yehuda Mishmul, halacha, the halacha is like Rav Tarfin. Says the Gemara, B'yad Rachva, in the hands of Rachva, Havalei Hani Zuzi Diyasmi, he had money that belonged to the Yisoymim, also came to Reb Yosef. And he came to ask Reb Yosef the following Shaila. Amalei, Ma'alish Tamushi B'gavayu, may I use this money? Amalei, Hachi Amar Reb Yehuda Mishmul, the Halacha is like Reb Yehuda Mishmul, Reb Yehuda Mishmul said, Halacha Reb Tafin, and therefore one can use the money. So the Rishonim ask, as the Gemara in a moment is going to show a distinction between the Mei Aveda and the Mei Yisoyna, the Mei Yisoymim. Ask the Rishonim, what was the Gemara's Havamina to compare the Mei Aveda to money that was left to be Kodin? So the Shita says in the name of Arivet, since by a Godel, by an adult who leaves money by someone else, since the adult could come any moment to collect his money, so therefore obviously the one holding the money may not use it. But Ktanim, however, they can't come to collect their money until they become Gedolim. And therefore, we would think that perhaps the Nifgat should be allowed to use the money. The Rosh explains that a person who's holding money for a cotton is actually doing the cotton a favor, that he's holding his money. And therefore the Gemara assumed that perhaps he should be allowed to use that money. And that was the basis of his question. And in fact, at this point, the Gemara says that according to Reb Tarfon, just like he's allowed to use the money that he gets from the proceeds of selling the Aveda, so too could he use this money. Amar Abaya, v'lav itmala. Then we learn regarding this psak. Amar b'chel b'amar b'huna, loishan al b'dmei Aveda, only regarding money received as the proceeds for selling a lost object. Hoil v'tarchba, Reb Tarfon's opinion is, since the person had to go through the tircha of selling this item, that's why they allow him to use the money. Avamas Aveda. Let's say somebody found money. As Rishonim explained, in one of the circumstances that money can be considered an Aveda. Let's say the money was kept, as we learned earlier in the parak, in the form of a tower, one coin on top of another coin, or money was found in a wallet. The lav tarachpo, where the person didn't have to do any tircha to take care of it. Loi, he may not use the money. Vahani, and this money that he was found from the assignment, Kamasa Veda Damu, and therefore the halacha is that he may not use the money. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef said to Rachva Zil, go, Lashafkali Dishrilach, I wanted to allow you to use the money, but they did not allow me to let you use the money. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked that we know that the halacha is, the Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, that if there's a din Torah and there's a dispute amongst the Dayanim, when a Dayan comes out, he's not allowed to tell the person who lost the case, I really voted in your favor, but what should I do? I was in the minority. So why here was Rabbi Yosef allowed to say this to Rechava that I was on your side, but I lost? So I saw two Terutzim. One Terutzwa is that Rabbi Yosef was there for the deliberations. So he saw everybody's opinion, so it wasn't considered that he was telling him a secret. Another Teretz that I saw from the Aruch Hama, that strictly by Dinei Mominus, there is a halacha that the judge can't tell the litigants, I was on your side, I was on the other side. But when we're referring to Issa v'Heter, as in our Gemara, that it's referring to a situation, what is my responsibility to money that's being left with me, there we don't have the halacha that the judges can't tell the person who asked the shaila what their respective opinions were. Says the Mishnah, Matzah Sfarim, if somebody found books, Karaben Achas L'Shloishim Yoyim, he could read from them once in every 30 days in order to air them out and prevent them from decaying. V'meinu Yoydei Likros, if the person doesn't know how to read, Goyolam, he could roll them from beginning to end to air them out. Avalayim Aben B'Tchila, to learn something that he had never learned previously that he not may not do. V'lo yikra acha imoy, nor may somebody else read along with him, because they may each pull the sefer and come to tear it. And as the Rishash explains, he says there's a difference between the word likrois and the word lilmoy. Likrois means to read. Just to read. Lilmoy means to learn with an iyun. So he explains as follows. He says, when I'm using the sefer myself, so there's no concern of a pull, me and someone else. So there the only concern we have is lilmoy, to learn, be iyun, where I may come to tear the sefer. However, if I'm reading it with someone else, so there is another concern altogether. There the concern is that the may pull it, and therefore, since there is the concern of pulling, even lilmoid without iyun is prohibited. Matzuksus, as somebody found the garment, menara achs l'shloshim yoyim, he should shake it out once every 30 days. V'shaytcha l'tzorchay, and he should spread it out as much as it needs to prevent it from disintegrating. Avloy l'chvoidoy, he can't spread it out, let's say he wants to use it to decorate his home. Kli chesev kli nechoshes, again, mishtamish b'am l'tzorchon, he may use him to as much as necessary. That's for, he should bury them to prevent them from being stolen, but in order they shouldn't become rusty, he should take them out every once in a while. Avloy l'sachakon, he can't use it to the degree that he wears them out. Kli chesev, kli zav, kli zechuches, gold and glass kalim, lo yiga behen, he shouldn't touch them. Atshiyav aliyol, gold kalim does disintegrate. Glass kalim, again, some Rishonim explain they too don't disintegrate, and others explain that glass kalim, since they're so fragile, we don't want you to touch them because they may break. Matzah saka kupa, if somebody found a sack or a box, the kol dovoy she'ein da'akalito, anything that it's not this person's practice to pick up, were it his own keli, the loch is hareza loyitol, he shouldn't pick it up. Amashmu says Shmuel, hamaitzi tefillin b'shuk, if somebody finds tefillin in the street, some demayim, he assesses their value, or menichan l'alter, and he could sell them immediately and set aside the money. That's one pshat in the Rishonim, that he assesses the value, sells them, and puts away the money. Another pshat is that he takes the value and he puts it on the side and he wears the tefillin for himself. Masa Ravina asked Ravina, Matzah Sfarim, it said in our Mishnah, somebody found Sfarim, Karban Achs L'Shloshim Yoyim, he should use them once every 30 days. If the person doesn't know how to read, Goylon, he should roll them from beginning to end. So we see Goylon in, only rolling them is permitted. Some the main Menichan Loy, but to just go and sell them and put the money on the side is not permittable. Permissible, answers the Gemara. Amar Abaya, tefillin ba bei bar chava mishka shlichi. The tefillin were readily available at the home of bar chava, and therefore, even if they sell the tefillin, it'll be very easy to replace those tefillin. Svarim, on the other hand, aloi shlichi, and therefore, one has no right to sell them. Rather, he should just put them away, but care for them that they shouldn't disintegrate. So I saw from the Michas Alozer that was in the times of Chazal, where tefillin were readily available. Nowadays, where tefillin are much more expensive, not as readily available, and sometimes people specifically want tefillin that were written by certain soifrim. People want tefillin that were passed down from generation to generation. There the halacha is that svarim, tefillin, also are not considered mishkech shlichi. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Hashal Sefer Torah Mechaveri, if somebody borrows a Sefer Torah from somebody else, Hareze lo yishilenu la'achar, he's not allowed to lend that Sefer Torah to someone else. Paischai v'karibai, he can open it and read from it. Uvach lo yimabai b'tchila, he's not allowed to read something for the first time. Since reading it for the first time requires more concentration, therefore we're concerned that he may come to tear it. But the Ramban interestingly points out that when it comes to a sefer of Gemara or Mishnah, any types of our svarim nowadays, where even a knowledgeable person is ma'ayin into the learning, we could assume that the book was lent with the understanding that it will be studied with Eon, and therefore nowadays any sefer that is borrowed, one can learn the Eon in the sefer. Nor should he allow somebody else to read with him, as we learned in the Mishnah, because they could come to target and tear it. The Ken Amaf could say v'tayr etzel chaveroi. If somebody leaves a v'tayr with somebody else, goyel loy kol shnei masa chaydish, he should roll it from end to end every 12 months. Paischa v'kayboi, he could open it up and read from it. Im b'shvila paschai, but if he opened it up for his own person, for his own purposes, usur, then it's usur to do it. Simchas ayim b'chadish, regarding a new Sefer Torah, Shloshim Yoyim, he should roll it open once every 30 days. But Yashem, regarding an old Sefer Torah, Shnei Masach Chodesh, every 12 months. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Echadzeh v'Echadzeh, both of these things should be Shnei Masach Chodesh every 12 months. And the Gemara is going to explain now every statement in this brisa. Amama, Hashal Sefer Torah mi achaveroi. If somebody borrows a Sefer Torah for somebody else, hareza lo yishalena l'achar. The halacha is that you're not allowed to lend it to someone else. Ask the Gemara, ma'ir is Sefer Torah, why is it specifically a Sefer Torah? Afilu kol mile nami. Everything, the halacha is out that way, that if I borrow something from somebody else, I can't lend it to anyone else. The Amar Reb Shimon Belokish. Reb Shlokish told us, Kanchan Rebbe, Eina Shoyl Rishoyl Lahashel, a borrower is not allowed to lend to another person something that he borrowed. Veina Soich Rishoyl Laskir, if somebody rented something, he's not allowed to rent it to someone else. So why do we have to teach this halacha specifically here by Sefer Torah? Answers the Gemara, Sefer Torah is Tuchalei. We have to teach this halacha specifically by Sefer Torah. Because ma de tema nichlei l'inish this eved mitzvah m'moinei. People are satisfied that a mitzvah should be done with their possession, and therefore the halacha should be that perhaps if I borrowed a Sefer Torah for somebody, I should be allowed to lend it to someone else. Kamash malon. That's why Gemara teaches us that it's not mutter. And even though, as we have said many times, the halach is that we do follow the halach of Nichlei L'Inish Dos Aved Mitzvah M'Moinei, here we don't follow this concept, because here there's a real concern that the Sefer Torah might tear. And that's why, as we explained, the halach is, if somebody comes to shul and he doesn't have talis and tefillin, and the people who own talis and tefillin in the shul aren't there that he could specifically directly ask them if he could borrow their talis and tefillin, we follow the concept of nichlei l'inish dos eved mitzvah m'moinei, and he's allowed to use their talis and tefillin without permission. However, the poskim say, and this is understandable based on the Gemara that we just learned, that is only if he does it on a temporary basis, not if he does it on a regular basis, because it's a concern for wear and tear, unless he has permission, obviously. Furthermore, there are people that are particular, that other people shouldn't wear their garments, and that's why some places can say, specifically with a talus, where people may be sensitive not to allow others to wear their talus, it's really proper to try to use somebody's talus that you got permission from. Certainly, say the Paiskim, if somebody keeps his talus and tefillin in a closed locker, you can't take the talus and tefillin without his permission. The halacha that was saying that you could use somebody else's talus and tefillin is only in a situation where it's left, so to speak, open. However, I saw from Yitzhak Zilberstein that, let's say somebody in fact followed this din and he used a talus and tefillin without permission, and then the owner of the talus and tefillin came and expressed that he was unhappy that someone else used his talus and tefillin. So does this person have to go put on another talus and tefillin? So he says, no, since the halacha, as we're learning, is that we assume nichalei le'inish d'las eved mitzvah b'maneh, we could assume that that's the din, and he was yotzei, he doesn't have to look for another talis and tefillin. Furthermore, I saw from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, Al Gemara says, Ashar sevetar mechaveroi, hareze lo yishalanu la'achar. So he says, what would be the halacha if somebody donated, or put his, not actually donated, but has a sefer Torah and he put it in a shul. And now, Rachman Tzlan, there's an oval who's a member of this shul, and they want to give the sefer Torah to that oval, to the Beis HaShiva. May the Gaboyim do it without permission of the owner of the sefer Torah. So he says that certainly not. He says specifically, typically, the shuls where the sefer Torah kept have a safe, and they have insurance if chas v'shalom something will happen to the sefer Torah, and that obviously doesn't exist in the Beis HaOvel. Therefore, just like Al Gemara says, you can't. If I borrow the sefer Torah, I can't lend it to somebody else because of the wear and tear. Here, similarly, you may not lend the sefer Torah to Beis HaOvel. The Gabbai may not lend the sefer Torah to Beis HaOvel that doesn't have a safe and doesn't have insurance. Says the Gemara, Poischa v'karbai, he could open it and read from it. Pshita. Obviously, if I borrow a sefer Torah, I could open and read from it. Elamai shalamanei. If not for this, why did I borrow the sefer Torah? Answered the Gemara, sefer tzurchalei. The chiddush of the Mishnah is for the sefer. Uvad shlayimud baba tchila. That the halacha is that I'm not allowed to read from it something new. That's what. That even though I borrowed it, and I borrowed it obviously to learn, not. I may not use it, however, to learn something new, or we're concerned that I may be ma'ayin and tear it. The kaina mafkid sefer Torah etzel chaveroi, so too we learn if somebody deposits the sefer Torah by somebody else, goyloish kol shnei masa chaydish, he should roll it every 12 months, paischai v'kayribai, he can open it and read from it. Ask the Gemara, my avidite gibai, what business does he have to read from it? If it was left by him, if we already learned that he has to open it up every 12 months for the benefit of the Sefer Torah, then when it says that he's allowed to open and read from it, it must mean that he's allowed to do it for his own benefit. But asks the Gemara, how could he do that? He's not allowed to use it for his own benefit. The Svu, it says, in b'shviloi paschoi, if it opened it for his own purposes, osur, harm it, but we just said paischa v'kariboi, that you are allowed to use it for yourself. Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Gemara. Hach kama. If while he's rolling it for its benefit, he opens it and reads from it, mutter. That's permissible. But if he's only opening it for his own purposes, that is awesome. But it's interesting to note that the Mordechai says that even though it's awesome to read from it for your own purpose, if the person who has the Sefer Torah is a Talmud Chacham, and he just wants to open up the Sefer Torah to copy from it because he's writing his own Sefer, that is mutter. Because the Mordechai explains, when somebody was mafkid by a Talmud Chacham the Sefer Torah, it's with the understanding that the Nifkad would be allowed to do this. And in fact, Rav Zilberstein wants to say that this is the basis for a tshuva of Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe discusses if somebody attends a shir, is he allowed to tape what the Maggid Shir says? And he says, since taping the words of the Maggid Shir don't involve any wear and tear on the shir and doesn't detract from the shir, unless the Maggid Shir specifies that he's not satisfied with that, it would be mutter to tape him. Simchas Omer, Simchas says, b'chadosh, with a new Sefer Torah, shloshim yoyim, he should roll it every 30 days. B'yashon, shnei masa chodesh, every 12 months. Both of them every 12 months. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had a Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying the same as the Tanakama. The Tanakama also said that it should be every 12 months, and he didn't differentiate between a new one and an old one. So what is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying differently? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Echad Zeh, Echad Zeh, both of them, Shloshim Yoyim. And as the Rishonim explained, originally they thought when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said echidzeh, he meant every 12 months. But that's a difficulty, because then what is he different than the Tanakhama? So we say what he must have meant was both an old Sefer Torah and a new Sefer Torah should be rolled every 30 days. Avalayim ba'betchila, one should not learn from this something for the first time. V'layikra achi imay, furthermore, somebody else should not read from the Sefer Torah together with him. V'mini, ask the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa, layikra parasha v'yishna, a person shouldn't read from a Sefer Torah that he's watching, a Veda that he's watching, v'yishna, and then review it while he's taking care of it. V'layikra parasha v'yitagim, nor should he read from a parasha and translate it. V'layiftach b'yoyis m'gimel dapim, he shouldn't open more than three columns at a time. Three people shouldn't read from one Sefer Torah. So it seems a Shnayim Karim. Two would be permissible. He was saying that even two is prohibited. Am Rabbi Eloi Kasha. Can be in Echad when they're reading in one parasha. So since they're both reading in one parasha, we're concerned that two people are going to each pull the Sefer Torah in a different direction, which might cause it chas v'shalom to tear. When they're reading two different parashiyos, two people could read it at the same time, but three people can't even read three different parashiyos at the same time, because three people always put too much strain on the Sefer Torah. Matzak sus, if somebody found the garment, menara achsel shloshim yoyim, he should shake it out every 30 days. Ask the Gemara, lememro, the nira malala, is that to say that shaking out a garment is good, is beneficial for the garment? Ask the Gemara, v'amramer Rabbi Yochanan, mishyesh legadi umim b'toch beisai, if somebody has a professional waver in his home, he should nara kenusa b'kol yoyim, he should shake out his beged every day. Otherwise, shaking out a beged is not good. Answers the Gemara, amri, b'kol yoyim, kashalei, shaking out a garment every day is actually harmful. Once every 30 days, malala is good for it. Ibai same another teretz like kasha. Habachad, one person shaking out the garment is fine. Habatrei, two people shaking on it out is too much wear and tear. Ibai same like kasha. Habiyada, shaking it out by hand is fine. Habachutra, beating it with a stick causes too much wear and tear. Ibai same like kasha. Habda amra, a garment made of wool which may stretch and tear should not be shaken out. But the kitna, a linen garment, doesn't tear as easily and may be shaken out. There were shown to have a reverse opinion that the kitna tears, we shouldn't shake it. Wool is tougher. Amar b'yoich, kasa d'charshin, it's better for a person to drink a cup of fluid prepared by mechashvim, not to drink lukewarm water. The Loya Moron, this was however only said clay matchis when it was warmed in a metal utensil. Abu clay cheres, if you're drinking it out of an earthenware utensil, less laba. Abu clay matchis nami, furthermore, by metal utensil, elamaron light tzavis, if the water has not come to a boil. Aval tzavis, if the water, the liquid has come to a boil, less lampra, there's no problem. Furthermore, if other ingredients weren't thrown into the water, if somebody put other ingredients into it, less than but is no problem. And therefore, there's no problem to drink a lukewarm coffee or tea. First of all, we typically don't drink it in a metal cup. Furthermore, there are other ingredients, the coffee or the tea. And furthermore, it first came to a boil. Although I did see Paiskim, we don't really have time for the Shaila now. There is a question if a Barei Nefashis is recited after somebody drinks a coffee or a tea that took him quite a while to drink it. And some want to say, since Al Gemara teaches us that in Bechlal, somebody shouldn't drink lukewarm beverages, that's another reason not to make a Barei Nefashis. Vomer Bjochen, Misha Nichle Aviv Moyes Harbe. If somebody's father left him a lot of money, for Reitzel Abdom, and he chas v'shalom wants to lose the money, Yivush Big Dick Pishton, let him wear linen clothing, Vishtamish Beklees Chuchas, he should use glass utensils, Vyiska Pa'alim Vayeshu Imam, he should hire workers and not supervise them. The Gemara goes through each of these points. Yevish klei pishtin, he should put on klei pishtin, the kitna rumaisa, refers to Roman linen, which is very expensive and wears out quickly. Bishtamish b'klei zchuchis, he's talking about zuzi chavirta, white glass, which breaks easily. Ask Tosfos that the Gemara says, in Masechta Saita, the Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Batla Zechuchas Levana. So how can we say that he should use this, that it doesn't exist? So Tosfos says, one Teretz, that it exists, but it exists in a very small quantity. Another Pshat is that the Pasuk says, Usfune Temune Choyl. And the Mefarshim explained that was part of what was in the Shevet Zvulun's portion, and they was able to make fine glass from the sand of Zvulun. That glass doesn't exist anymore, but good glass does exist. In fact, that's why the Mefarshim say that we break a glass under a chuppah, because the reason we break a glass under the chuppah is zeichel l'chorbin, and as we just explained, by the chorbin, the good glass no longer exists. So that's how we remember the Churban, by breaking glass. V'yizka pa'alim v'yeshu ma'am, hire workers and don't supervise them. Tergma b'turi, it's referring to somebody who hires oxen drivers. The nafish p'stayu, the potential loss is very great if they're not adequately supervised. V'shem two explanations. One is that the oxen are supposed to plow and they don't plow the right depth into the ground, or what happened was they used to pick grapes from the tree, but you have to be very careful that the axe that was schlepping the wagon shouldn't harm the tree that the grapes are growing from. So if you don't supervise the workers properly, chas v'sholem, you could come to lose the grapes. I saw a nice pshat. We know there's a famous machloikis between Rishim ben Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. What is the proper way for a person to live? Rishmol's opinion was, v'safta d'ganecha, that a person should work when he's supposed to work and learn when he's supposed to learn. Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, a person should sit and learn under all circumstances. So I saw the Mefarshim explain. Certainly, Rav Shmol agrees with Rav Shimon ben Yochai, if a person is very wealthy and he doesn't have to work and he has what he needs, he's supposed to learn, not supposed to go to work. Similarly, Rav Shimon ben Yochai agrees that if a person doesn't have what to live on, he has to go to work. The machlokes, they explain, is the example of our Gemara, where a person has a business and he has workers and he has to keep the business open, otherwise he won't have panasa, and he has workers. Reb Shmuel's opinion is that if he won't remain with the workers to supervise them, he won't be able to earn any money. Yiska pa'alim v'yeshiv imam. And therefore, Rav Shmuel says such a person is allowed to go to work. Rav Shimon ben Yochai is not concerned, and he says such a person should go to yeshiva, go to learn, and not be concerned that the workers won't do the job right.